Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for the weekend. And joining us today are Diana Hastings and Kayla Suarez with the YWCA. Diane is the Business Development Administrator and Kayla is the Marketing Manager for the YWCA. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you
for having us.
Now, first of all, before we get started, because you all have a lot of things going on. Today you have a luncheon that may or may not have already started, but we're going to talk a little bit about who you had, but you guys are always doing something, and people sometimes, you know, don't understand. Okay, what is the YWCA? What is the YMCA? And if you wouldn't mind sharing with us what the YWCA is all about.
So YWCA, our mission is to empower women and eliminate racism, and promote peace, justice, dignity, and freedom for all. So it's very broad mission, but our core programs are our early learning academies. We have after-school programs as well on more than 50 elementary school sites around El Paso. And we have our health and wellness, our fitness and aquatic centers. We also offer, we have our transitional living center for women who have been experiencing homelessness. We have affordable housing programs for seniors and just El Pasoans in general. We have LIFT, which is our workforce development program for people who maybe need GED prep, some job training. It focuses on a positive mental attitude, getting people new careers, new jobs. What else? I'm sure I missed something.
Teen leadership.
Program. That focuses on the 79924 zip code. We do so much. And of course, we have our events. So the event you were speaking about, we're part of the Women's Collective Impact, which is kind of a combination of several organizations in El Paso, including YWCA, the Center Against Sexual and Family Violence. It's got representatives from El Paso Times, the United Way, Women's Fund of El Paso, and Workforce. And so yesterday on Friday, we hosted a forum where it was focused on empowering and engaging women in their day-to-day lives. So when you hear empowering women, you kind of think protests, marches, things like that, that are on this grand scale that are kind of happening. But we focus a lot on how we can empower and embolden women in their day-to-day lives. So we heard from a mother who her child was a special needs student and how she navigated that system to his benefit. You know, a lot of schools try to just push these kids to the side or they stick them in special ed when they don't necessarily need to be there instead of giving them the care that they really need. And we heard from a professor here at UTEP, Dr. Dura, who she did a session of, it's an interesting, it's called Troika session, and it's three people and you kind of sit together and it's a way of conflict resolution. And it was just really interesting. So things like that, that just improve your day-to-day lives. And then we also have coming up, so the luncheon you mentioned is our 25th annual women's luncheon that we have every year in April. So that's coming up and we're bringing Judy Smith, and the show Scandal is actually based off of her. So we call her the real life Olivia Pope. So any Scandal listeners would be very excited to come and actually meet the person. She says that she really wears white. She really loves fabulous suits. And she really calls herself a gladiator. And she really enjoys popcorn and red wine. All of that from the show is accurate. So we cannot wait to meet her. So that's maybe some of what we have going on right now.
And of course, the lunch won't be popcorn and red wine.
No. Okay. It'll be a real lunch.
Okay.
Yes.
Diana, you had something to add?
No. Well, I mean, about the luncheon, the reason why this year is very important, like Kayla mentioned, is because it's the 25th anniversary of it. So for 25 years, we brought on speakers to El Paso that promote or encourage women to learn. So they have special messages. This year is going to be a fun event, but of course, her real life career, like it's depicted on the show, it's very interesting as well.
This is, again, people are very aware that March is Women's History Month. And, you know, it's sad to sometimes think that we have to wait until March to find out who these women are and, you know, learn a little bit about them. But there are some fabulous women that we read about in history. And as Kayla mentioned a little while ago, you know, some people in our communities who are just being a mom, being a provider for your family, being a teacher, there are just so many things that, you know, women stand out, because everyone knows if someone says, ask a woman, do you work? And they say, no, I'm at home. Oh, you don't work. Well, everyone knows that anyone who stays home wears many, many hats.
That's a lot of work in most cases. So yes, it's important for women to be provided with the tools to so they can advocate for their children, not only them, but also for aging parents was another one of the topics covered. And that's very important because sometimes we don't really know, and there's not necessarily like a book to instruct you on how to deal because it's very specific to the needs of the population and the city. So you have to kind of like find out how to access those resources and what you can and cannot do and how to kind of like make sure that things are happening for your family, your needs are being met.
One of the things that, as you were talking, Kayla, you mentioned the zip code 79924, and I was, perhaps our listeners are wondering too, why that zip code and why is that important or why is it not important or what about the other zip codes? So mm-hmm. what is the answer?
So that zip code has historically been known for high rates of dropout in high school students. So our teen leadership is partially grant funded and it's based on that specific need for that population. So for example, we have our YAC group, which is at Andrews High, and they do things like volunteer together. They do team building exercises, leadership exercises, and it's all for the purpose of keeping them engaged in school and hoping that when they graduate from high school, they move on to either more education, to a career, some sort of beneficial second part of their lives after high school. Because, and I'm not sure off the top of my head, I don't know who did the study that that grant was based off of, but that's the reason that we do focus on that 79924 zip code.
And some of the things that you all mentioned before, also the fact that you have perhaps women who are the head of the household and they've become that suddenly because of death or divorce or whatever, but that puts a lot of pressure on them, but also, you know, the children experience something very different. Tell us about some of the programs that you all have to deal with situations like
that. Well, so our after-school program is definitely designed for a working family. You know, a lot of parents can't get off work right at 3 to come pick up their kid. Most people can't get off work right at 3 to pick up their child. And it's this kind of discussion of, do you let them walk home? Do you leave them alone? How young are they? Are they young enough to be left alone at home if nobody can be there? In El Paso, we have a lot of the extended family maybe picks them up. But for some people, that's not an option. So what do they do? There's a lot of instances. I spoke with actually a parent from our after-school program at Sylvester Reyes, and she said she moved here and she did not know what she would have done if she hadn't found our program because she was working full-time and she couldn't leave and she couldn't be worried about what her kids were doing for the next 2.5 hours. So in that program, it's very much focused on benefiting the child. So we have, of course, homework help, but we do things like STEM programs, that's science, technology, engineering, and math, physical activity, USDA-approved snacks, and then also at our Early Learning Academy, something that's kind of up and coming is our administrator there is promoting, she's creating a new curriculum that's very holistic. So we just announced a dental hygiene curriculum with a local dentist. They're providing the curriculum and resources for all of the students in all of our academies, and she's also working with different professionals on developing a mental health curriculum. So identifying any potential factors that might affect the child, how we can help them, vision and listening skills, screenings, all of that. So it's very holistic to address all aspects of the child's needs.
And this is something, of course, that is, you know, we've been dealing with recently with the shootings and the violence, the fact that mental health is something that needs to be looked at. But at the same time, there are many people, because of the culture or because of the situation, kind of tend to sweep it under the rug or let's not talk about it.
Right. And we're partnering with a couple of universities to have the experts come in and help us with those services because, of course, we want to be able to do it the appropriate way. So this is a service that the children are going to be getting at the site at a very early age so that we can do early intervention. And, of course, if the need is not there, then there's really nothing to be done. But we're there for those children that actually need a little extra guidance that may not be noticeable because not everybody's trained at that level. But when we have the resources, they're able to spot that and address it and refer to professionals.
This is a time of year when, everywhere you drive, you see about your tax refund here, get this here. And it's no secret that most families are on a tight budget because of the situation, either prices going up, salaries are not, or whatever. But you all have a program also, correct me if I'm wrong, where you help families address their finances and deal with anything that may or may not come up.
Well, we don't have the credit counseling that we used to have, but what we've done is the workforce development program I mentioned before. That program includes financial literacy. There's different options for that program, and part of it is just a 2-week customer service training, and the participants receive job training, customer service training, and in the end, they can test to be certified customer service on a national level so that it helps them increase their salary when they get a job and they become more qualified when they're looking for jobs, makes them more eligible for management positions, things like that. But in the longer program, it's GED prep, it's financial literacy, it's current events, it's resume writing, it's resume building, and a lot of the target audience for that, it's such a wide variety. We have people who have been through the justice system, people who have been adjudicated, and how do they get past the little box that they have to check if they've been convicted of something, but of course they still need a job, they still need to be able to live. So how do they create a functional resume that explains everything but still shows their value? And it includes, of course, like I mentioned, the hands-on training of what you do once you have the job so that the employer knows that maybe you've been through something, but you're still capable and you're still turning your life around. Gosh, it includes so much, including, like you said, the financial training.
And sometimes what you just mentioned might keep a person from actually going and applying for a job, even though they know they can do it, they know they can learn, but because of checking that particular box, it's like, I can't do this, I'm not going to do it.
So they teach them, that's something they definitely focus on. They call it the positive mental attitude, and it's something that's carried, it's called LIFT. It's Learn, Invest, Focus, Train. That's the program's name. It's very extensive training on how to avoid that kind of thinking. You're going to have some hard times getting that job. It's going to be a hard first step, but here's how you can do it, and here's how you explain in a job interview or how you explain in a cover letter and get them to call you back to at least bring you in and meet with you.
One of the things that one of our professors had mentioned it last week in a faculty meeting, that when a student is writing a resume, sometimes they'll put, all I did was bartend, or I was a barista for 4 years, not much else. And they don't take into consideration everything they did as a bartender or as a barista, interacting with customers, talking with them, addressing all that. And sometimes that may be the case with some of the clients you deal with.
Yeah, so that's what they would call the functional resume. So these skills that maybe you spent 5 years working at a bar or working at Starbucks, and you think that, well, I'm not qualified to go do this, but what did you learn working on that team? You know, you had to have dealt with maybe management issues. You've dealt with irate customers. For sure, you work at Starbucks. People are getting angry when their drinks are mad or wrong. So how did you deal with that? These skills that you accrue that not everybody has because they haven't experienced that. So that's something they focus on for sure in those classes.
We're visiting with Diana Hastings and Kayla Suarez with the YWCA, and we're talking about some of the various programs that the YWCA has to offer. This weekend, we'll continue right after this.
I'm Lizzie O'Leary. When it comes to wage equity for women, the U.S. lags far behind the likes of Iceland, Nicaragua, and Rwanda.
They're going about this in a much more systematic fashion than we are here in the United States, and as a result, have tended to make more progress than we have.
A look at the reasons why and what can be done about it. That's next time on Marketplace Weekend.
Tune in this afternoon at 2 on KTEP 88.5 FM.
The wait is over. Marvel's Black Panther is out. And it's not just another superhero film.
There's something about the pride that this shows, that Wakanda shows, African pride, Black pride, your pride of your people.
Actress Danai Gurira on the film that's already a phenomenon. That and the latest news on the next All Things Considered from NPR News.
Weekends on All Things Considered, Saturday afternoon at 3 on 88.5 KTEP.
Hi, this is Chris Thiele. This weekend, live from here, I'll be coming to you from the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul with Mr. Randy Newman.
You just remember what your old pal said, for you got a friend in me.
Also, Margot Price is up from Nashville, and the very funny comedian Alice Wetterland. Plus duets with Madison Cunningham, the First Call radio players. Hope you'll join us for all this and much more this weekend.
Yeah, you got a friend in me.
Saturday afternoon at 4 on KTEP.
We're visiting with Diana Hastings and Kayla Suarez with the YWCA, and we're talking about some of the various programs. And Diana, as the Business Development Administrator for the YWCA, tell us a bit about your role, and because the YWCA doesn't necessarily just get a huge grant and say, okay, you guys are set for the next year.
No, definitely not. We are a nonprofit organization. We have a lot of programs that don't necessarily make money because we serve a population that isn't able to pay for that. So we grow our relationships relationships in the community. And one of the opportunities that we do is for employees of certain businesses, we have discounts are special to certain partnerships. So the employees are able to pay reduced rates. So it's an added benefit that a company can offer that doesn't necessarily cost them anything. And we know that certain companies have, or a lot of businesses have employees that are using our services or that might, like childcare, you know, with children as young as, you know, zero to whatever. And then the after school program. And then, of course, health and wellness, everybody needs to work out. So we offer these discounts to businesses. So if people are interested, they can call us at the main office and ask for Diana, and I'll come visit with the HR department of their place of work. And then we could talk about those benefits. They're really reduced rates and they're pretty significant. I mean, when we start adding up what you can save using the gym, using your the after school program, and you have a younger child, when you take into account all of these numbers, a discount, a 10% discount, anything really makes a difference. And it's something that you can reinvest in something else for your life that you can do for your kids, like additional activities or traveling, just whatever you want. So it's just, that's how we also help the community to be able to help them financially.
Kayla, Diana was mentioning, of course, working out and the gym and the pool. And there are programs that you all offer as well, because in the pool, perhaps, you know, where physical therapy or whatever, it's not necessarily just for working out, but the fact that there are some things that, you know, the doctor may prescribe, or you may want to get have a class for seniors, a class for women, a class for men. Tell us a little bit about some of the classes that you all offer in that area.
I think we talked to you about this before you had your surgery recently. We definitely, and Diane is kind of an expert on the health and wellness. She used to be in charge of that program. We're the only place in El Paso that offers Aqua Zumba. We have water aerobics. And benefit of those classes are that they're very low impact. So if you have issues with muscles or bones, you can still work out without the harshness on the joints.
But the intensity is still there.
Yeah,
so you still get the same benefits of working out to your fullest capacity. The only difference is that you're in the water, so you're not carrying your entire weight. Your joints are not taking an impact against the floor and gravity and all of that. So you get the benefits with very low risk.
And we know that one of the top, perhaps even above the top, resolutions always is, I want to lose weight, I'm going to start working out. And by this time of year, usually that treadmill or whatever has turned into a coat rack and or whatever, it's against the corner. And sometimes it's because I think people perhaps don't know how to go about it. They push themselves too hard and then they get tired. Your programs direct them where you start off slow and they don't expect you to go in there and all of a sudden swim a mile every morning or anything like that.
Right. So when people come, especially at the top of the year, when they come to us, that's the number one goal. Everybody wants to lose weight. Everybody wants to, this is the year that I'm going to get healthy or I'm going to start running all these miles. We talk to people and we talk about their specific goals. And we even take it a level further, which is we talk to them about why it is that they want to do that. So is it for health reasons? Is it, do you want to lose weight because other options? Do you have a specific date? Just to try to target a specific program for them. So for example, one that we always get is everybody wants a summer body, and we say summer bodies are made in the winter. So it takes quite a few months for you to be able to accomplish that if that's what you're going for, like the actual physical image. But if it's for health risks, like for example, if you have high blood pressure, the pool is ideal for that because you're able to control your pressure as you're working out. So you get the benefits again of working out without raising your blood pressure. If people have arthritis, the pool is also ideal. If people are into running, we help them get in a program that starts running on the treadmill during the winter months or when it's too hot in El Paso, which happens a lot, right? We talk to them not just what it is that they're trying to do, but why. What's the goal and what's driving them? Because that determines the commitment.
So you're basically almost saying there really isn't an excuse for you to, and I'm not saying that as a negative towards the participant, mm-hmm. but the fact that you start them wherever they're able to and carry on.
Exactly. And it just not just where they want to start, but what's enjoyable to them. Because if it's something that you're literally looking at the clock the whole time that you're doing the exercise, it's going to be really hard for you to come back tomorrow and the day after and the day after and then see the results and the progress. So we try to find something that it's enjoyable for you so you can keep committed. And then before you know it, you're having a blast like an aqua zumba. You enjoy the music and you don't realize an hour has passed and you worked out, you know, at a high intensity level without feeling it. So we really, it depends. Every participant is different and we have different classes to meet their needs.
And so you have programs for the entire family as far as exercise?
We do. In fact, we have babies learning how to swim as young as 3 months of age. It's really easy to teach babies how to swim, believe it or not. And we try to get them early so that they can learn that exercise and health, it's a lifelong commitment. It's not something that you do to look good or to keep up with whatever image you want to keep. It's something that is going, it's an investment in your health that is going to make everything else that you do easier. Like sleeping is easier if you work out. Getting your regular annual checkups, they're usually better when you are a lifelong fitness person.
Kayla, you mentioned earlier, again, the variety of programs that you all have to offer. And, you know, we've touched on a few of them, but if there are some that I haven't mentioned and you want to touch upon, please let me know.
I think we've touched, I mean, we mentioned Lift is our newest one, Teen Leadership, our Transitional Living Center is like we've talked about several times, where we house women and their families who have been experiencing homelessness. And similar to the Lift program, they get some pretty intensive case management to help them find a job or get back to school or whatever it is that they need. They're working very closely with our case managers to get it. We have a life skills class weekly that we provide childcare and the mothers can go. And of course, they're not all moms, but if you are, we provide the childcare. But the women can go and learn things like opening a bank account. You know that maybe you and I know how to do that, but they don't. A lot of the women we serve have escaped abusive situations. So in that situation where you've never been a head of household or you've been in a controlling relationship and you literally don't know how to budget, you don't know how to get your own account, well, we're there to help you. Things like self-defense, our classes that they've had recently, resume building, job interviews, things, anything that is considered a life skill that you don't necessarily learn in school, then they're there to help them teach.
One of the things that we've heard about in the news so much lately also is about the sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. Do you have classes on that to kind of let women know these are your rights, you can do this in the workplace? Because sometimes, as you mentioned, if they come from a controlling relationship or a relationship where perhaps they didn't even know that many people, they've never worked outside the home, and all of a sudden they're there, and perhaps if someone approaches them and, you know, they don't want to lose that job, they need that job, so they put pressure on themselves.
It's something we've kind of started recently. We actually just went through a training with our management staff so that our staff even knew, because it was an eye-opening, you know, if you're a woman, it's not a surprise that other women have been through harassment or assault, but the wide scale that just kind of erupted recently, for us as an organization too, it was like, we need to be teaching people about this and we need to start with our own employees. So we did have a little bit of a sexual harassment training and ethics training and what to do if that happens to you. And so it definitely isn't, even amongst our board and our committee members, everybody came to us and was saying, you know, this happened to me. And it's in just eye-opening stories that is definitely something we're taking to heart and trying to develop ways to inform the community.
The transitional living that you talked about a little while ago, we've talked about, you know, the woman and helping them, and sometimes there's a situation where there are children involved. How do you prepare the children for something like this? Because if children, sometimes they'll adjust to just about anything, but you don't realize what's going on in their little head, what's going on in their little mind, because they don't want to say anything. And sometimes they blame themselves. They think they're the ones that, you know, mommy and daddy are upset because of them. So what do you tell the children?
We actually have youth advocates at the Transitional Living Center and youth specialists that are there for that purpose. They're there to, if their grades are slipping, that's the first indication. And they do report their grade. They work with our our advocates. They do STAR test that started after I left school, so I'm not super familiar with it, but they do tutoring for that, which is not something that you really get out of school. But it is so vitally important to these kids to do well in school and keep their life as much on track as possible when they're experiencing this. So they do work with them on a one-to-one basis for tutoring, for any needs that come up, and they have that one person that they can go to in the center that's their home now, that they know that it's a safe space for them, because maybe they don't want to tell their moms what they're experiencing because mom's been through enough already. So they need that person, and we provide that for them.
And you deal with youth all the way up to 18?
Mm-hmm, up to 17.
Up to 17?
Yes. And our teen leadership program is, I think it's from 10 to graduation for high school students. So it's very involved.
The youth advocates that you talked about, are they volunteers? Are they youth also?
No, they're staff.
They're staff.
Yes.
And I mentioned volunteers. You all deal with a lot of volunteers as well, correct?
Yes, we take volunteers.
Yes.
If anybody listening needs volunteer hours, community service, or just wants to get involved, we have countless opportunities, from being involved with our events, helping us plan, like our walk-a-mile is very much done by volunteers and committee work. We have Project Move with UTEP, where a ton of volunteers are going to almost all of our locations to help us out with some things. But the Transitional Living Center is always looking for volunteers for things like childcare during the life skills class. That's an excellent way for mentorship. If you want to be involved every week, you're going to see a lot of the same students every week. So to come in and have a familiar face to work with that child, that's an excellent opportunity. We have volunteers at our early learning academies, so there's always opportunities for volunteering.
So what is the best way to contact you all if they want to volunteer, or if they want to find out about some of the programs we've been discussing?
Yeah, so all of the programs we've talked about, including volunteer program, is on our website at ywcaelpaso.org. And our phone number is 915-519-0000. And we can point you, if you're interested in volunteering for events, the day of an event, if you're interested in learning more about joining one of our programs or enrolling your student, we have our Early Learning Academy right on campus at UTEP. So there's all kinds of different opportunities for the entire community to be involved. We touch thousands of lives every year. So we're here for whatever anybody needs. We're willing to help.
Well, thank you both very much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We've been visiting with Diana Hastings and Kayla Suarez with a YWCA. If you need additional information, you can go to ywcaelpaso.org. And the phone number, pretty easy to remember, 519-0000. So you don't think you're calling the operator four times. It's just the number to call for YWCA.